RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Beans! So, today, I'm putting a disclaimer. The landscapers are outside, and there is construction going on. So if you hear banging and mowing, no matter how I try, Franca, I'm like, all right, I have to record something in this room for about an hour. Can you guys get this done first?
You just rebuilt an entire house. How did you not build yourself a quiet room?
I did, but they're doing work in the room directly next to mine.
Oh, they're in the house.
Yeah.
Okay, I get you.
Yeah, so I don't know that the landscapers will come through, but I'm just giving the disclaimer in case, you know, life.
Sounds good.
So look, this morning, I'm already taking all kinds of crap from people. I don't get it, but hey, you know, a couple things. This morning, it came across the wire that Joe Biden was going to Walter Reed Medical Center for a routine physical. Okay, big deal. Then
me too. I'm getting a routine physical today as well.
It's like physical day. It's amazing. Then all of a sudden it came across the wire that he was transferring power to Kamala Harris because he was undergoing a colonoscopy.
Wow, that's gonna be the high point of her life.
I had no idea that a colonoscopy was part of a routine physical. Like the way they said at first, it was like he was just being whisked off there to get his heart and blood pressure checked and off he'd go. Now he's going under general anesthesia, I'm assuming it's general anesthesia. It might be the one
That's not routine.
I mean, there are several levels of anesthesia with the colonoscopy because, of course, I hit the research. And there are two of them. The most common one does render you with amnesia afterwards, but that's pretty much a day in the life.
That's just normal.
So whatever is a transfer. But doesn't somebody brought this up and I agree. Doesn't that require like a full day of prep beforehand?
Yeah. Well, with the colonoscopy, you need to do the phosphosoda and I forgot one. There's usually two things that you have to do, and the phosphosoda and one other thing that that helps clear you out.
Well, this person was saying that Biden was like doing like events yesterday and stuff. Well, how do you do events if you're crapping your brains out all day long?
Yeah, when you're drinking that stuff, it's better to be close to home. So I don't know.
Well, unless you're wearing a diaper because you normally crap yourself. I mean,
but this kind of crap. I mean, diapers. This would not really stand too much of a. I wouldn't be out in public, pretty much. But you know, I don't know where the routine. Obviously, the older you get, there's more reasons why colonoscopies and endoscopies are sometimes suggested for checkups and things like that. But as part of a regular physical, no, because there's still just it's that's an entire day. You know, after you get out of there, you're a little bit woozy. I picked my mother up from all of her colonoscopies, and she's out of it for the rest of the day.
Yeah. It says here, update, Biden will transfer power to Kamala Harris while undergoing a colonoscopy under anesthesia. Harris will be the first woman to hold presidential powers as Biden undergoes physical.
Yes, history.
History is being made.
Good. That's what we wanted the whole time. So hopefully she doesn't have to make any decisions over the course of that half hour. I wore the belt.
I mean, what is she going to do? I mean, you know, I'm just the conspiratorial person in me that would never usually say any of this stuff out loud in the general public is saying to the general public. We just had Chad Pergram talking about what the process is to replace the vice president in the House of Representatives and, you know, blah, 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 and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, now we have announcement early in the morning. Like, wouldn't they prep the people for this? Like, if I were president and I had a medical procedure to do like this, I would say, listen, guys, I got to get a colonoscopy on Friday. So Thursday, I'm going to be out of commission. Friday, don't worry. We're going to transfer power over to the vice president everyone loves so much, and I'll be back up in the saddle.
What if, and I have absolutely no proof, and I have absolutely no evidence that this can be the case.
I love when you do this.
Okay. What if all of that, everything, starting with the Jill Biden headline about her inquiring about the 25th Amendment, to the Chad Pergram thing, somebody calling him up and say, hey, review these notes about how you could confirm one thing or another, even down to this week's latest rumor about how Joe Biden may be mulling over putting Kamala Harris on the nominee list for the Supreme Court just to move her out. And you didn't see that one?
No.
Which would mean that Justice Breyer would be retiring sometime
soon. Kamala Harris on the Supreme Court?
Well, she wouldn't get on.
Oh, she'd obviously just be nominated. So like, oh,
she'd be nominated. She'd have to vacate her vice presidency, because if it came to a tie in the Senate for confirmation, she couldn't be the tiebreaker of her own, you know, whatever.
Or look, what I've been saying the whole time since the other day is they're actually getting rid of Joe. And
this is what I'm saying. What if that is all misdirection, where it's just about how do we replace the vice president? How do we replace the vice president? And all of a sudden he trusts her enough to put her in charge while he goes in for this colonoscopy, and they whisk him off into some kind of a bunker, and he spends the rest of his life. They say that he died, and he just lives the rest of his life underground.
Nothing
and then she
would surprise me.
Why not?
Nothing would surprise me. Nothing.
Stranger things have happened at Walter Reed.
Oh, Lord. Do you know Donald Trump? Apparently, I'm learning all kinds of history here on my Telegram room right now. Apparently, Donald Trump underwent a colonoscopy while he was pregnant, but he pregnant president.
That's another one.
But he did it with no sedation, anesthesia, or anything. He did it completely awake. God bless the man.
Oh, yeah. No, that was published in a leftist. I forgot which journalist published that in either the Atlantic or New York Times or something. But it was supposed to – they dropped that in there as a way to show his insane lust for control over
things. Oh, my God.
And I said to myself, if you think that you're going to make anybody think less of Donald Trump – for being as that badass that he refused anesthesia for a colonoscopy. that's some pretty G shit right there.
Literally badass. Literally. Everybody in the disclosed TV room is saying, like, he'll never wake up. You know, here we go. Off we go. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, if he dies from this, I put that in quotations. He's not dead. He's living in a bunker somewhere, and he just removed from the equation. It's first of all, there's 10,000 people in the world that look like him.
Yeah, I know.
So he could just live out the rest of his life nicely somewhere. We'll see.
Oh goodness. So we'll keep an eye on that, I guess. You know, this is airing at like 2:30 in the afternoon, but we're recording it in the morning. So goodness knows what could happen between now and then. Other than that, there's been a bunch of stuff. So this morning from the Dark to Light Telegram room, it was brought to my attention that the community FDA paper is now online. The package insert for community.
Okay.
It's 20 pages long, and there's a whole bunch of interesting nonsense in here, Frank. For example, they have a warnings and precautions section, just like any, you know how they're all blank right now. You can't see anything on the package inserts at all.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, they're all blank. Like, people have done videos picking up the Johnson & Johnson or the Moderna or the Pfizer and pulling out the sheet, and it's just like all blank pages. So here, warnings and precautions, okay, 5.1. Appropriate medical treatment used to manage immediate allergic reactions must be immediately available in the event an acute anaphylactic reaction occurs following administration of Comirnaty. Then 5.2, listen to this. Myocarditis and pericarditis. Post-marketing data demonstrate that an increased risk of myocarditis and pericarditis, particularly within 7 days following the second dose. The observed risk is higher among males under 40 than among females and older males. The observed risk is highest in males 12 through 17 years of age. Although some cases required intensive care support, how many? Available data from short-term follow-up suggests that most individuals have had resolution of symptoms with conservative management. Now, note, they don't say, they say resolution of symptoms. Your heart muscle's never the same.
Right.
Ever. You might not have shortness of breath and chest pain anymore, but your heart muscle's never the same. And then it says, information is not yet available about potential long-term sequelae. The CDC has published considerations related to myocarditis and pericarditis after vaccination, including for vaccination of individuals with the history of myocarditis or pericarditis. And there's a link to that.
What do they say about pregnant women?
Oh, boy. Here we are. Well, a couple things.
They have something.
Yeah, they do. Okay. I have a couple different smidgens here, but I want to get to this real quick. Fainting may occur with the injectable vaccines, including with it says fainting may occur in association with administration of injectable vaccines, including Comirnaty. Procedures should be in place to avoid injury from fainting. Altered immunocompetence. Immunocompromised persons, including individuals receiving immunosuppressant therapy, may have a diminished immune response. And then limitation of effectiveness. Comirnaty may not protect all vaccine recipients. Okay. Adverse reactions, Frank. Now, we've heard this over and over again. We've talked about it on the show. They, when you're in a trial for this, these vaccines, they give you a preset group of boxes you can check with symptoms that are like, you know, cookie cutter, right? You're not allowed. There's no way for you to add anything to it. So there's no space in your little app that you use to fill in your information to add any symptom you're having or any experience you have other than these ones they're about to list. So when they say in clinical studies, the most commonly reported adverse reactions in participants 16 through 55 following any dose, these are the ones they allow you to use. It's pain at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle pain, chills, joint pain, fever, and injection site swelling.
Sounds a lot like COVID.
Yeah.
The headache and the fever and the aching and the... Either way, yes.
In clinical studies, the most commonly reported adverse reactions in participants 56 years of age and older following any dose were pain at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle pain, chills, joint pain, injection site swelling, fever, and injection site redness. Now, 88.6% had pain at the injection site. 70.1% had fatigue. 64.9% had headache. 45.5% had muscle pain. 41% had chills, 27% had joint pain, 17% had fever, and 10% had injection site swelling. That's a lot of adverse reaction.
Like, I know, and those are just on the easy end of the spectrum.
Yeah. Now,
you know, if you tell somebody you go and get a tetanus shot or something, your arm's going to be sore for a couple of days. I've had that happen to me. And it's just, you know, okay, well, it's sore. I got a shot a couple of days ago. You know, you can justify that. But the things that they're leaving out is...
And they get into that a little further down, and I have that too. They get into some of them. But this just blows my frickin' mind, what I'm about to read to you right now. Risk summary, Frank. Ready? All pregnancies have a risk of birth defect, loss, or other adverse outcomes. In the U.S. general population, the estimated background risk of major birth defects and miscarriage in clinically recognized pregnancies is 2% to 4% and 15 to 20% respectively. Listen to this next sentence. Available data on Comirnaty administered to pregnant women are insufficient to inform vaccine-associated risks in pregnancy.
So how can they possibly, in good conscience, tell people it is safe to take if you're pregnant or are trying to get pregnant?
Exactly my
in good conscience
point. Yes.
Wow.
They have no effing clue. They go on to say, a developmental toxicity study has been performed in female rats, administered the equivalent of a single human dose of Comirnaty on four occasions, twice prior to mating and twice during gestation. These studies revealed no evidence of harm to the fetus due to the vaccine. Thank you. The rats have spoken, Frank.
Thank God for the rats.
Ready? Ready? Listen to this. Pediatric use, Frank. Safety and effectiveness of community in individuals 16 through 17 years of age is based on safety and effectiveness data in this age group and in adults. The safety and effectiveness of community in individuals younger than 16 years of age have not been established.
So, all right. So there you have it. I mean, what's there left to say? What's there left to say?
Can you believe that? Can you believe it? And you're going to go around shooting your kid up with this? You know, the other day when I went off on Wednesday and I was talking about being pro anti-vaccine, my husband was downstairs and he sent me like a little recording of myself screaming that he could hear from home. That's how I feel right now.
Wow.
How do you?
I mean, when you read, how do you read something like that and not feel this way? And what's the title of this report again?
This is the package insert for the community vaccine that isn't available.
That is not available?
No, I mean, this is not being given in the United States right now.
And this is the one that has supposedly been approved.
Yes.
So this is the one that has approval.
Yes.
And it has, this is what, okay. So this is the one that has approval but has not been given in the U.S. Is it being given in other parts of the world?
I don't know.
Because how the hell, what would FDA approval even mean to the rest of the world? I don't get it. Because they have their own bureaucracies for approving medicine.
Yeah.
So this thing got approval, and they're saying that it's not tested, and it's not nobody can know what the hell's going on. But the one that is being given out over here under emergency use authorization, how does it differ? Chemically.
Well, we don't know because they haven't released the ingredients, but there is more ingredients in this.
They could be the same one. They could be the same exact one.
No.
Okay.
They're not. There is more ingredients in this than there are in BioNTech, which is the one that's being dosed to everybody right now. This one has 11. That one has 10. So what the extra ingredient is, I have no idea.
It's probably like mayonnaise.
Who knows? They're probably injecting, you know, I don't know. Whatever. But there's more. You want to hear more? You want more, Frank?
Yes.
Efficacy in participants 16 years of age and over. They're still in the middle of an ongoing study. Study 2 is an ongoing multi-center, multinational, randomized, placebo-controlled, observer-blind, dose-finding, vaccine candidate selection, and efficacy study. In participants 12 years of age and older. Randomization was stratified by age, and they go through it, with a minimum of 40% of participants in the greater than 56-year stratum. The study excluded participants who were immunocompromised and those who had previous clinical or microbiological diagnosis of COVID-19. So in other words, they're all of their study, everything, does never study anyone who's already had COVID. So they have absolutely zero idea.
Wow.
So there's that. There's more. They unblinded participants, which somebody who's a doctor who knows these studies better than I do, because I'm a novice when it comes to this stuff, will need to go over what that means and why this study is crazy. And you can read the whole thing. We'll put it in the show notes for everybody. They go through all of the risk factors and stuff. So, yeah.
There's just something so weird about the whole thing. Just the juxtaposition of both of these shots, one being approved but never given out with just one mystery ingredient of a difference. That's almost like going back to school, going to college 1 year and coming back the next year, having to buy the same book for the same price. And the only thing different about it is that it's edition 0.4. And some of the changes have been made on page numbers and stuff, and there's nothing. So there's a difference. There's a separation between these two things, just to be able to play on the fact that one of them is approved and gaslight everybody else into thinking that the one that people are taking is approved.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, well, it's insidious, is what it is. Obviously, it's all diabolical in nature, because look at what the hell we're getting in this packet. This packet insert.
It's insane.
Hasn't been tested on anybody.
The next thing that I saw this morning was about, it was ABC News that put out an article about this huge surge in flu, right? State Health Department raises alarm as campus flu outbreak climbs to over 500 cases, right? And down there in the article, it says, amid the surge, the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services is calling on people to get the flu vaccine, as vaccine administrations are down by about 26% compared to this time last year, and COVID-19 cases are also on the rise. So it says, quote, this outbreak comes at a time when COVID-19 infections are again surging in Michigan, with case rates, positivity rates, hospitalizations, and deaths all increasing. State and local public health officials are concerned with the potential for increased strain on the health system if COVID-19 and influenza cases surge at the same time this winter. It was never about just this shot. Look, stop firing your healthcare workers. You won't have a problem at your hospitals. Stop firing them. Stop. God. Horrible. So there's that. But then there's good news.
What's that?
I have listened to the entire press conference from DeSantis, who signed all those bills into law yesterday in Brandon, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And he said some funny stuff at the end. Do you want to listen?
Sure.
Yeah. I'm going to have to pull it up real quick. It's at 37 minutes and 30 seconds.
One of those bills, Chris Ann Hall had a great hand in making it to reality.
Did she?
They have been really doing some great work down there.
Well, good for her.
Really awesome work.
That's fantastic. Yeah, no,
wonderful example about taking the reins locally and forcing a GOP establishment majority into actually doing something, because they're not really interested in making progress anywhere. And so they really put the screws to them.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's not like they don't have a willing participant in DeSantis. And you know what else he did? After 9/11, we reported on this. It was like George Bush when he was governor down there, I think. Not George Bush. What's his name?
Jeb
Bush. He put this into law that the Surgeon General and the health officials there could vaccinate you against your will. We covered this. They just passed a provision to remove that from Florida law. Thank you.
Yeah, that's here. Here's a little bit here. Chris Ann Hall had put this out on her Instagram, and it was first a shot of Anthony Sabatini down there. He's a representative,
yes.
I guess. Yeah, it says 1 year ago this week, I filed HB 6003, a bill to eliminate the state government's authority to mandate a vaccine during an emergency. At the time, the Republican establishment was totally opposed to the bill. Today, that bill has become law. The people must never stop fighting. Still so much more work to do with the bills that were supposed to totally ban private sector vaccine mandates. Those bills were badly watered down by rhinos like Speaker Chris Sproles. But this is an important win in the meantime. Chris Ann Hall then goes to say, to add to her own words, when we stand together, we cannot lose. Because we stood, we won. Florida legislation that has been on the books for decades, allowing state health officials to force vaccinate Floridians in a time of declared emergency, has been repealed. The power of peaceful noncompliance. And they're very, very happy down there. Because I'll tell you something, Tracy. I know that what we got from the Fifth Circuit is very promising. But I started asking friends, hey, have you the free people that are resisting at their places of work, that are forming these little pockets of resistance with first responders, whatever the hell it is? What are you guys doing? Are you using this Fifth Circuit ruling as part of your legal push, whatever? And it's pretty much coming from the top down, wherever the hell people are. The Fifth Circuit means nothing to us. We're moving ahead. And Jen Psaki even said it too. It means nothing has changed.
Well, I was going to say that. Care. I was going to. Yeah, no, I know they don't care. They don't care about the courts. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care about anything. They just do whatever the frig they want. But you know, that's why we're going December 4th to the steps of the Capitol here in South Carolina. We need. I don't care what they do with this. I don't care what case is won. I don't care. We need legislation on the books to protect us from this and protect our rights, because it's clear they will do whatever the F they want, whenever they want. And that's the only thing we have to fall back on at the end of the day. Like, there's no law right now barring them from doing it. There's a court decision. They've clearly decided they don't care about that. So here is DeSantis.
Autism is about, like, local school boards. It's the United States of America, not the United School Boards or County Commissions of America. So the states are the primary vehicles to protect people's freedoms, their health, their safety, their welfare in our constitutional system. What Biden is doing is not constitutional. There has never been a federal vaccine mandate imposed on the general public. I hear people talk about, you know, they do things in the military. Yeah, when I was in the military,
listen carefully.
They used to give me all kind of stuff. Honestly, I wish I would have thought a little bit, but I mean, whatever it was. But that's much different than regulating the military and then imposing it on civilians in society. It's never been done before. It's not, they don't have the power to do it. There's no federal police power. States have the federal police power. So that's from a constitutional perspective. It is worlds apart. Now, some people say, hey, these local governments wanted to lock down businesses. They wanted to force mandates. They wanted to keep the kids locked out of school. Yeah, you're damn right I overruled them on that because they were wrong. And the fact of the matter is, you don't have the right to do wrong. And if I had not stepped in last year and made sure that these local governments couldn't lock you down, couldn't mandate, we wouldn't let them fine. We had kids in school last year because of me, not because of them. And that's just the bottom line. And so people can say, is it the job of somebody that's elected to look out for the liberties of everyone in the state? Or do you just say, hey, if someone's violating your freedom, we shouldn't do anything? The fact of the matter is, if we would have let them lock the kids out of school last year, we would have paid the piper on that for years and years in this state. If we had let them lock down businesses and restrict and do all that, we would have one of the highest unemployment rates in the country. So we had to stand up for people's liberties, their livelihoods, their right to work, people's right to own a business, and it was the right thing to do. But what Biden is doing, he does not have he even admitted he doesn't have the authority to do it. The Psaki admitted that they don't have the authority to do it. And in fact, even 6 months ago, they were all saying, of course you never mandate. Of course you never mandate. And so the question is, do we actually have a constitution that constrains people like Biden, or is it just when he loses patience, he can do whatever the hell he wants to? No, I'll take the constitution. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. Ron.
Yeah.
Oh, Ron. Yep.
Well, you know, I don't know. I haven't read it the entire thing yet. I haven't read the entire thing yet, but there is a new article. Well, on The Atlantic by that guy Brooks, David Brooks. Have you seen this?
No.
It's a crazy, crazy guy. And
what does he say?
Well, anyway, in this he is talking about the – hold on a second. I know I have it in here. Let's see. Here we go. The headline is "The Terrifying Future of the American Right." What I saw at the National Conservatism Conference by David Brooks. And one of the things he talks about is using state legislatures to push their agendas, which, of course, is just American civic life. It's just it's terrifying to them.
Everything must come from the federal.
Yeah, there's no rising right wing menace out there. They're really terrified of Americanism. They don't like America. They hate this country. So when somebody actually does something by going to their state legislatures to make their place where they live better and more reflective of the local culture, then they go out of their minds because everybody should live like people live in the West Village.
Yeah.
And they just – it's really just – it's insane. And, of course, you read through this, you will be dumber at the end of it. But, yeah, it's – that's just a look into the mind of the insane.
It's – it's I wonder, like, who they think is reading this and agreeing with it.
know. I don't know. Keith Olbermann.
Yeah. Did you see what's it called? What's his name? But Bill, what's his name? That liberal guy that does the show, the Friday night show.
Bill Maher.
Bill Maher. He was on with Chris Cuomo. Did you see that?
I was picking up some food at a diner and I saw them sitting together on his show. And I just saw that it happened, but I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, he said, you know, the Democrats, they're ruining everything, basically. And, you know, they're talking about CRT in schools, and Maher is saying, you know, it's dangerous. Well, why would you do this? Like, it's dangerous. It's, you know, do kids that age even know what the hell you're talking about? Do they know why you're segregating them into groups by their color of their skin? Would right. they even think that way unless you had introduced it to them? Like,
because there's several American generations of American children who are examples of how good things can get when you just don't hyperfixate on race and other superficial differences, and you just get people you just concentrate on a joint project, and you have fun, and you play sports and whatever. I'm a member of what you are too. Several generations of yep. kids that were just thrown together and nobody paid any mind to it. And we created great culture, great music, great movies. It was just, we were stronger mentally. We had good humor, the greatest comedy. It's
insane. It really is.
Maher is usually good. Maher is usually consistent in those points. Obviously there's many, times that we're on opposite sides of the universe.
No, well, he said, it's funny that you're saying that, because he said that for the first time ever, the past couple of shows, his audience has been 50% conservative, 50% liberal. He's like, that never used to happen. Never. And I'm like, well, I mean, you know, when you start acting
more, is that because more did he go into that in depth a little bit more? Is that because more conservative people were applying for seats in the audience, or are more people that watch his show that previously identified as liberal are starting to become a little bit more red-pilled?
It's a very good question.
Because everybody in that building needs to be vaccinated at that point. So that's number one.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, oh, well, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Oh, well, hey, sure. Then it's got to be that. I don't see, most conservatives have gotten this shot. But, you know, there are a bunch who have. Like, whenever I do a talk anywhere, I ask the question for several different reasons. First of all, it's how you talk about this, right? Because if you're talking to an audience that's half vaccinated, you want to be careful that you don't, single anybody out or make anyone feel bad about themselves or, you know, whatever, and just give them a little reassurance. There's a big difference between speaking to a group of unvaccinated people versus a group of vaccinated people. I say the same thing. It's just how I phrase it that's a little bit different. It's all about, you know, people's feelings. Like, a lot of people who got shot are very upset that they did it. And so I don't want to make them feel bad when I tell them that it's dangerous and it could hurt them, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I wish I knew that. That's a great question. Frank, I just saw this story and I got to talk about this right now.
Okay.
Did you know that Biden just sold or shipped 1.6 million barrels of crude from our strategic petroleum reserve to Asia?
No.
To 12 million barrels in the last 2 months. The biggest weekly release so far last week at 3.1 million barrels. Why?
With gas climbing towards $6 a gallon.
Are you kidding me right now?
Where'd you read that?
Citizen Free Press. It's an American thinker. I can't believe I'm even reading this right now. Are you serious?
Wow. That's just, well, listen, and this goes back to David Brooks. There is no America. They want America to be a super state that is belonging to a much larger union that is planetary. So the fact that anybody would assert their right to live their lives free from any kind of centralized control in Florida or any other hamlet in this country is abhorrent. to people who think in tyrannical planetary means. Here is the action of a person, of a group, who does not care about the sovereignty and about the sustainability of a nation who's that's already suffering. It's suffering a completely premeditated kind of a violent attack right now. And what does this do to help? It doesn't do anything to help. This is only to keep conditioning people that even things that are ours are not ours. They belong to someone else. We belong to someone else. That's incredible.
I don't even know what to say. I mean, there's got to be something done about this. Not only that, but the other thing that was pissing me off. It's very minimal in the grand scheme of all the things we're dealing with. Do you know that the Washington Post just went back and edited 17 columns they published about Spygate? They're standing there with their Pulitzers when they're going back and retroactively changing all of their reporting over the past 3 years because they know they're going to get sued into oblivion for defamation.
Well, I mean, this is how the Ministry of Truth works just in general. Aside from the fact that people are going to want to protect themselves from lawsuits, somebody out there is going to have to say, you know, history is not going to look kindly on us, and we have to maybe we should take some more moderate stances on things and just drop some of our craziest claims. What is it in particular that they have been moderating, Tracy?
What have they been changing? What have they been changing?
You said that they've been editing.
It's just everything Spygate related. It's Christopher Steele. It's Igor Danchenko. It's all of the stuff that they now know is false. The dossier. You said moderating, and I was thinking about the comments section. I don't know. They changed everything about the dossier, who funded it, and they put all these little disclaimers in at the bottom, like, "Oh, this has been edited to update current facts and data." I'm like, who? I don't know. It's just. When do the Pulitzers come back? From the New York Times, too.
To hell them. Pulitzer, Hearst, they were all yellow journalists anyway. They lied our ways into wars as way back as the Spanish-American War. To hell with it all. That award, that trophy in itself is bullshit.
I want to make my own. This is what it says. I found it right now. An earlier version of this story published on March 29, 2017, referred to previous reporting in the Washington Post that Belarusian American businessman Sergey Milian has been a source of information for a dossier of unverified allegations against Donald Trump. Meanwhile, they paraded around talking about how true it was the entire time. I mean, Rachel Maddow alone. In November 2021, the Post removed that material from the original story after the account was contradicted by allegations in a federal indictment and undermined by further reporting. References to the initial report have been removed from this piece. That's what's going at the bottom of everything. It's just ridiculous.
You know, President Harris is trending right now.
Really?
Yeah, well, because it's funny. I mean, well, first of all, you think about what they had to do just to make stupid history with her as vice president, even though nobody liked her. So there's a first that was taken away from somebody who will earn it one day. And then now the first time a woman will act as president is because of goddamn colonoscopy. Oh, boy. You got to break that glass ceiling, Tracy. It needs to be done.
Even if it's with a wand lathered up in you know, sonogram gel, whatever. Whatever you need
to
do.
That's what this is. This was with a wand. It's not because of people wanting it. That's for sure.
Oh, absolutely not. Speaking of, you said yellow journalism, and it just brought me to Jim Jordan sending a letter to Merrick Garland about what appears to be the assault on Project Veritas, asking for all kinds of information. And I just keep on saying these letters, they don't respond. They don't provide any information. They never give the documents. They just say, oh, we're in the middle of an ongoing investigation about a young girl's diary. Give me a break. And then the fact that the New York Times is publishing all that information right afterwards, I mean, they don't even care what it looks like anymore.
No.
Oh, Project Veritas was checking with their attorneys whether or not they could publish something. These guys are the worst.
I know. At least they can you imagine that? once again, the horrible future of right wing America. People are actually doing the legislative work to make their homes a better place. And then this.
Following the law.
An example of a journalist that actually goes and consults with legal counsel to make sure that they don't do anything wrong instead of just knee-jerkingly throwing it out there like the New York Times and everybody else does.
Did you catch any of what happened yesterday in the Kyle Rittenhouse debate?
What, with MSNBC?
Well, yeah.
Getting kicked out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I caught that. I didn't really catch anything else. When I realized that it was going to be another day of supposed deliberation. They're not deliberating anything.
Well, they asked.
There's no deliberation.
There was a little debate going on, like, inside of our little room that we've got. A couple things. Well, first of all, this guy working at the behest of a producer for NBC or MSNBC was following this jury bus, which the judge explained to everybody, which I think was stupid because now everybody knows what to look for, where the windows are blocked off of this bus and the jurors sit inside of it. Well, this guy was caught like running a light or something, trying to follow the bus. And he told them, well, I'm on task, supposed to be working for and NBC. So they were basically trying to dox the jurors, which is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the fact that he tells the officer that he was instructed by whoever his manager was back in New York. I mean, that's the other thing. Instructed to follow the jury bus.
Yeah. I mean, there's no like, let's just get these jurors' names, addresses, ruin their lives, dox them to their families, dox them and their families. Like, and the judge also let them take the jury instructions home, the written jury instructions. Now I personally, I don't know from a legal perspective, but I personally don't know why that's a big deal because you're able to get those jury instructions. Like you just have to watch the hearing back again. He reads them out loud to them in court and they're, you know, available. However, somebody was saying in the chat, and I don't remember who, that they will look up the definitions of some words and instead of using the legal definition of them, use the dictionary definition of them. Like, why is it taking so long? The kid didn't do anything wrong. It should have been 5 minutes.
That's what's most disturbing about this. There's no deliberation going on. They know what has to be done. It just seems like everybody involved wants to pass the buck because they're afraid of the ticking time bomb. That is the completely demoralized and disassociated American public that's waiting outside. That's just whatever the hell it's, especially since the gun charge got thrown out there. The gun charge got thrown out and now all that's left is murder. There's no murder that was committed here. It's verifiable from multiple angles on video. It's self-defense. Nobody wants to be the one to set the bomb off.
Yeah, they're afraid to. I mean, just do what's right, guys. For goodness sakes, you're on a jury. This is like the fabric of American society.
But it's not. But that's not, like I said, I wish somebody can tell me, you know, it was. Okay, well, this guy or this freelancer is following the jury bus at the behest of the networks back in New York. That's bad in itself, and thank God that they got kicked out of the courtroom. But is it really that much worse than what Joy Reid and Joe Scarborough do every night with this apoplectic, vile form of discourse that they engage in that it passes for reporting every night? They're sending psychological triggers out to the entire country. It's not even just them. It's the intelligence agencies. It is Joe Biden and the White House, whoever the hell is working the White House Twitter account in itself. I mean, this is a Jen Psaki. The entirety of the system has come down to make sure that especially in high profile cases like this, you will not get a fair trial anywhere in the country, or they're going to make it very, very hard because they're essentially holding a bazooka to the head of the city that the trial is hosted in.
Yeah, with so, bricks and everything.
My question, have you talked to anybody from a legal standpoint, Tracy, of what could be done? Let's say, Kyle, the right thing happens and he is He is let off on all charges. He's not guilty. And then he can go and finally exact some revenge. Can he sue even the president of the United States himself, or does it have to be Kyle Rittenhouse versus the United States? Can he actually sue Joe Biden for taking away his due process and a fair trial?
That's a great question, and I don't know the answer to it. Like, I wish I don't. Whenever there's a lawsuit filed, it says, you know, it says Joe Biden in his, you know, Joe Biden, and then it will be like also the United States of America as well. I think he can sue him personally for defamation. I just don't know how or when.
Oh, it has to happen. Something has to happen, or this is going to be par for the course.
Yeah.
With everything now, this is unreal. Honestly, as egregious as it is to have someone tailing the jury bus, it's really not that much worse than what we're getting every night from these actors and actresses on television. It's really.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible, and yeah, I agree with you. Like, You can't keep allowing these people to do this with impunity. They're doing it with impunity. Like, they don't care. They don't care. So, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen today. Everybody keeps on saying verdict to follow, but like, when? They're live now. Let's see what's going on, if anything. Are they doing anything? No, it's just the justice, just the seal. I wonder if Rakita Law is doing anything right now.
They're live.
They are?
Yeah, there's about 61,000 people watching.
Let me see.
That's fine. But they already had this guy's name pre-trial, right, during jury selection. Why would they have his name but for he's the provider of the video? I mean, what other role would he play?
That's exactly what I would want to know, is what other purpose?
This whole video thing, have we talked about this at all? I don't remember. So. What? The video, the FBI video of the drone.
Yeah.
The defense gets this grainy, crappy, like 380p version of the video. The prosecution has this fancy schmancy, you know, 1080p high def version. It's been proven now that they transferred the wrong version over to the defense. They have to get the same exact version. That should be a mistrial just right there. It's exculpatory. The prosecution didn't get any time to look at an actual real copy. The defense didn't get an actual time to look at the real copy. The prosecution used the advanced copy in their presentation, and the defense couldn't use it. And in that video is clear exculpatory evidence that proves that Kyle Rittenhouse is innocent. And the judge is just not ruling a mistrial, and I don't understand why. I really don't. I really don't.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I think he's worried.
He's got to be. Now's not the time for it.
Because he knows. I mean, all these rhetorical questions. I don't know what you're up to, he'll say. He knows what they're up to. He knows what they're up to. He knows what MSNBC is up to. And he knows that MSNBC, NBC, all those networks, and this Binger guy and that fat ass that works with him are all fellow travelers. He knows what's going on. It's just, how do you get out of this? I mean, what is he, 70-something years old, this judge? Does he want his life to end this way? I don't know. Then again, if he doesn't rule on this correctly, then the lives of millions of other people who are probably going to be faced with and I hate to say it, but this is so important, because going forward, there's going to be many people, as this color revolution continues in this country, who are going to be faced with the prospect of using deadly force as self-defense. And if this goes the way that the left wants it to go, where people are now going to have to just take that beating from time to time, that's too much for people to ask. You better do the right thing. You got into this business to preserve a nation, then do it.
Yeah. I mean, this is the trial of your career. Get your ass going, dude. This is like what you're here for. Headline on CNN, just going back to what we were talking about this morning at 5:52 a.m. Oil prices are finally falling. Thank China and Joe Biden.
As he gave away 12 million barrels of
12 gazillion trillion barrels of oil. 30,000 barrels, gazillion barrels of oil. And another thing I'm seeing, because I'm just looking at Citizen Free Press for the first time this morning, who I donated to yesterday. They're having a little fun drive going on, by the way. It's a video of Bill Gates. Hold on.
What, getting the pie in the face?
No, he said, here.
You know, the death rate and the severe disease rates ought to be coming down pretty dramatically. And, you know, by next summer, getting to be, say, quite a bit lower than the average seasonal flu level.
They already are.
Assuming there's no surprise variants, which right now the evidence is that's not that likely, but it can never be ruled out.
I know this is said all the time, but I think we just need to say it again. What in God's name gives this little geek the right to do any of these things that he's doing and talking on these things? He didn't even create Microsoft.
Nothing. It gives him no right. And to sit back on that and say, well, there's no way to see that a new variant wouldn't pop up. But then again, you just never know. Well, that's just life. You're talking about life. You know, today there's no way to foresee whether or not something bad could happen to me tomorrow. But it could happen. And who has to deal with that? Me, not Bill Gates. There's not a global solution to this. It's unbelievable how they always reserve the right to commandeer our lives. You know, everything seems to be going okay, but you know, it can get bad at any moment. So we have to be ready. I hate listening to them talk this Machiavellian bullshit.
This is another article too that makes me laugh my butt off. CNN Politics this morning. Trump's ire grows as DeSantis' popularity with Republicans takes off. This is such BS, Frank. I'll tell you firsthand, it is BS. Ready? In a matter of months, Florida Governor DeSantis has gone from being a shining example in Donald Trump's eyes of a MAGA leader molded in his image to an average politician who forgot his roots as he rose to Republican stardom. People close to both men first noticed the palpable shift in Trump's posture towards DeSantis earlier this year as enthusiasm for the Florida governor swelled among donors and GOP operatives who praised his laissez-faire response to the COVID-19 pandemic. The more DeSantis's popularity soared, the more obsessed Trump became with receiving credit for his political service. In April, Trump had told Fox News that DeSantis would certainly be under consideration for the VP slot if he were to launch a third presidential campaign. By October, the former president was demanding that he publicly rule out a White House bid of his own. It's true that President Trump catapulted DeSantis. It says here, a statement to CNN from Trump's spokesman appears to confirm Trump's obsession with receiving credit for DeSantis' success. He said the former president's 2020 victory in Florida paved the way for Republicans, including Ron DeSantis, to sweep the state in 2022, and suggested that Trump catapulted then-Congressman DeSantis into the governor's mansion with his endorsement in the 2018 GOP primary for Florida governor. That's true. DeSantis was floundering. Trump swooped in at the very last minute, gave DeSantis an endorsement, and DeSantis won. And he didn't win by a whole bunch. Wasn't that the case in Florida with him and Gillum?
I think so.
He has proven to be an absolutely wonderful governor. But that's true, what he just said. So.
Yes. Yes. Oh, gosh.
That's all I got for today, Frank.
It's enough, but it's enough.
Let's see what happens with Biden's ass, and we'll go from there, I guess.
Well, listen, just keep in mind today, this is a very historic day. For the first time in our country's history, we can say, Madam President.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Thank God for an 80-year-old man's ass.
Yeah, otherwise we'd never, ever have a Madam President, you know?
You're right.
So.
You're right. Not with the crop that we've been getting.
You've been listening to the Dark Delight Podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Beans! You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com, and we will be back on Monday.
Later.
I'm Jerry Petuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.